You know, John chapter 15 and verse 13 makes this statement. It says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Greater love. If that's true, and of course it is, then all of us in here have a mighty good friend this morning, and that friend is Jesus Christ. I want you to look at Romans 5, verse 6, and the Bible says this, "For when we were yet without strength, when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, maybe for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended," he demonstrated his love toward us, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Last week we sung, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven and so that we could gain eternal life. But we all know that a friendship cannot be one-sided. If a friendship's one-sided, then it's really not a friendship, is it? How do we return that friendship to the Lord? How do we become the friend of God's? Well, there's one man in the Bible who is said to be the friend of God. And if three different times in the Bible, it is said about him that he was the friend of God. And that man, does anybody know who that was? Who was the man three times that said to be the friend of God? Nobody wants to say. Abraham. Who is it? See, you guys know it, don't you? Yeah. Look at Isaiah 41, verse 8. This kind of would have given it away if you'd have looked at that first verse. It says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen." He calls Israel the seed of Abraham. And then what does he call Abraham? My friend. James 2:23 in your handout. This is in the New Testament. "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the," say it with me, "friend of God." This is also said about Abraham in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7. Three different times, the Bible calls Abraham the friend of God. How did Abraham become the friend of God? Well, Romans chapter 4 is what I want you to turn back to. Go back one chapter. This entire chapter is about Abraham. And this whole chapter, I know that's kind of odd, isn't it, to have a whole chapter in the New Testament in Paul's writings about Abraham. But yet, here it is. It's in Romans chapter 4. And we've got a whole chapter here on Abraham, who is said to be the friend of God. How did Abraham become the friend of God? This chapter is going to reveal to us how Abraham became the friend of God. And it's going to reveal to us in turn, it's going to make application at the end of the chapter to us, Gentiles living in the church age, and how that we in turn can have that same position that Abraham had before God. It's going to reveal to us today how to have that. So it's going to be very insightful. You will know when you leave the building. Now what you do with it, it's up to you. But you will know when you leave the building this morning, unless you got earplugs in, all right, you're going to know how to become the friend of God. Number one is this, and again, there's no writing this morning. We're just going to look in our handout at some verses, and we're going to look at a lot of verses in Romans 4. So have your Bible open to Romans 4 as we look at some things. But the first thing that I want to bring out about this chapter is that Abraham did not, I said he did not become the friend of God because of good works that he did. All right, did y'all get that? He did not become the friend of God by any good works that he did. Look at verse 2. All right, Romans 4, verse 2. "For if Abraham were justified," that means justified means you're made right with God. If he was made right with God or justified by works, than he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth. You're not trying to work for it. You're just believing on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth. That just means he gives. God imputes. He puts it on your account. He gives you righteousness. And then what's the last two words? Without works. Say that with me. Without works. Now, those verses, I think, make it very clear that Abraham was not justified. He wasn't made right with God. He wasn't made the friend of God by some good work that he performed, by some good work that he did. That's very clear. He was not justified before God because of some good work. Now, did you know that's true of all of us in here? Nobody becomes the friend of God today by being a do-gooder. You say, are you against doing good? No, I'm not against doing good. But I'm telling you that we don't get to heaven by doing good. That's what I'm telling you. You don't get to heaven by doing good. I want you to look in your handout now. I told you we've got a lot of verses there. So I want you to grab it, and I want you to look at it. And I want you to look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at the next verse, Titus 3, 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever done something really good and you kind of got real puffed up about it? You ever done something real good and you knew it was good? And you kind of got puffed up, you kind of, you know, kind of got proud over it, you know, and you thought, well, I'll tell you, that was really something what I did, you know. You ever build something and you just couldn't wait to show it off to somebody? Buddy, I tell you what, you put a hammer and nails and wood in my hands and look out. And I literally mean, look out. It's a dangerous thing, right, Rob? When you do that with me. You better look out, right, Caleb? You put a hammer in my hand. The other day, Clayton was coming in the garage door, and he's like, is there some reason why the thing that holds the door in place is half out? You know, the, what do you call that? What is it? Yeah, hinge. You kept saying spring. That was messing me up. Hinge, yeah. Every time I'd say what, she'd go spring. Denise would go hinge, and I couldn't hear you because she's closer. She kept saying spring. I'm like, it's not spring. You're just trying to help, right, Colleen? Just trying to help. But it was the hinge, the bolt there that holds it. It was half out, and I'm like, "Where's the hammer?" And the whole family goes, "Oh, he's getting the hammer! Everybody run!" But you know, you build something and you're kind of proud of it. You know, you want to show it off. You know, or you know, you did something successful. You know, it was really successful, and you just couldn't wait to tell somebody. Yeah, I remember as a kid. You know, I remember trying out for the part of Tom Sawyer in our sixth grade play. And I got the part of Tom Sawyer, and I got off that school bus, and I went running as fast as I could, and I bolted in the door, and I said, Mom, guess what? I'm going to be Tom Sawyer. Mom said, yeah, I know, I paid off the music teacher so that you could. No, I'm just kidding. I just couldn't wait to tell somebody, you know. And a lot of times in our life, that's the way we are, you know. We kind of like to brag a little. You know, there won't be any of that in heaven. Did you know that? There won't be anybody puffed up. There won't be anybody prideful. And there won't be anybody boasting or bragging about themselves in heaven. Nobody's going to be bragging about what they did to get to heaven. Because God has set this thing up to where we don't become His friend and go to heaven because of our good works. The Bible says, and we read it, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. There will not be boasting in heaven that you did some certain work down here on earth, and that's why I'm here. There will not be any boasting. He said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. He said here in this text that Abraham, he said that if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. He may brag, but it won't be before God, he said. God's not impressed with that. The second thing I want to bring out here is that Abraham did not become the friend of God because of an outward religious ceremony. Now, we're going to read some of this text here in a minute, but before we do, let me set the stage. God had made a covenant with Abraham. He made an agreement with Abraham, made him some promises, and he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, from you is going to come a mighty nation, and I'm going to give you the land area of Canaan. Nations and kings are going to come forth from your loins. And right after he gave him those promises and that agreement, this is what God said. Listen closely. He said, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. In other words, this what I'm about to tell you, buddy, this is going to be for you and then everyone that comes after you in the seed of Israel. And here's what he said. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. So that particular religious ceremony was very important for Abraham. He said, God said, this is the token of the covenant between us. It was very important for the nation of Israel. It's part of the law. He ended up incorporating that as part of the law. It was very, very significant in Abraham's day. Today, it holds no significance one way or the other. The Bible's very clear. He said, in Christ it availeth nothing, all right, one way or the other. But in Abraham's day, it was a huge religious ceremony. And the baby and the parents would be there, and it would happen specifically on the 8th day of the baby's life. Jesus himself, Luke tells us, was circumcised on the 8th day according to the law. So it was a big deal for a Jewish child. But in Romans 4, it's made very clear here that Abraham did not become the friend of God because of that religious ceremony. I want you to look at verse 9 now. Go to Romans 4, verse 9. He says, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, that blessing of salvation without works. He said, does it just come on the circumcision? He says, or upon the uncircumcision also, that's Gentiles. For we say, now notice this, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. He was made righteous. How was it then reckoned? When Abraham had faith, he believed God, and he was counted righteous. In other words, we would kind of say it, he got saved, all right? He was declared righteous before God. Look at verse 10. How was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Now look up here and let me explain. Abraham, the story of Abraham believing God and having righteousness imputed to him, that story happened before what I read you about circumcision and how God said this will be the token of the covenant that's going to set you apart from the other nations. That his salvation, if you will, happened before any of that happened. He was declared righteous. He was made acceptable to God way before he ever partook in that religious ceremony. And that's the point Paul's making. He's trying to make a point here in this text, which we're going to see in a moment, kind of where he's heading with this thing. But he tells you right at the beginning, Abraham was not justified by some work that he did. He was not justified, he points out, by a religious ceremony. A close example to that today would be the ceremony of baptism. That would kind of be, we don't deal with that Jewish issue of circumcision, but that issue of baptism kind of replaced that. And a lot of people go through a religious ceremony of baptism as a baby. They're baptized as a baby. And I'm not kidding you. There are people that really, that to them, they're going to heaven because they were baptized. They think they're going to heaven. I mean, I don't know what they envision, but I think they think that when they stand before God one day, that God's going to be like, okay, let's check and see. Oh, yeah. Oh, yep. 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 You went through the ceremony. Yep. He's good. Let him in. Oh, yep. 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 She had some water sprinkled on her. She's good. Let her in. Yep. You went through the ceremony. You're good. Go in. People think that, I think. They think that because they were baptized. Now, for me, I got baptized. The particular church I was in, They would baptize babies, but typically what would happen is you'd go through this set of confirmation classes, and then after the confirmation classes, you would go through the ceremony of baptism. And I did that when I was like 12, and it meant nothing to me. I remember I told the boys the other day at the dinner table, we were talking, and I told my boys, I said, I remember going through that. And I said, I remember making fun of it with all my friends when it was over. And they were calling me a wet head, you know. And I was joking about being a wet head, you know. Because they'd put, you know, water on my head. And it was just a big joke to me. But many religions believe that that ceremony somehow grants you salvation. It cleanses away your sins. Somehow that ceremony of baptism confers grace to you. But the Bible is very clear. We don't become the friend of God through a religious ceremony. There is no religious ceremony that can make you righteous and acceptable before God. That's Paul's point. He takes the number one religious ceremony at that time. He takes the top one, because anything else would fall under that in importance. He takes the number one ceremony, and he proves in this chapter that it is unnecessary for salvation. Because his proof is Abraham was declared justified before God before he ever went through that religious ceremony. Are y'all with me? Say amen. You got it? He was not justified and declared righteous, saved, if you will, by a good work. He was not justified and declared righteous because he had been through a religious ceremony. There's a third thing, though. And that is this. Abraham did not become the friend of God because of keeping a law. Look at verse 13. He said, for the promise that he should be, talking about Abraham, that he should be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they, which are of the law, be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Now, look up here. Let me explain what's going on. Many years after Abraham, God gave to Abraham's descendants the law. It was consisting of the Ten Commandments, but the total law, okay, that God gave to Moses was 613 commandments. 600. $20 bill for anybody who can stand up right now and tell me all 613. No, you can't, right? It's like the dad that was having devotions with his little five-year-old boy, and he told his little five-year-old boy, he said, son, he said, now can you tell me how many commandments did God give to Moses? And the little five-year-old boy said, too many. He's about right. Too many for me to remember, amen? Too many for me to remember. Now, look, Abraham did not become the friend of God by keeping the Ten Commandments or keeping the law. You say, how do you know? It hadn't been given yet. You see what I'm saying? It hadn't even been given yet. It didn't come until years later. There was no written law at that point. There was no written word of God. There was no written law. There was no Ten Commandments. None of that. And that's the point. Some people mistakenly believe they're going to go to heaven. They're going to be acceptable to God by keeping the Ten Commandments. Or keeping a list of rules. Or striving to keep the golden rule. And I hear that a lot. You know, it's funny. You talk to people about it. And you try to, you know, get them to see that they're lost and that they need to be saved and be right with God. And they're like, well, I think I'm okay. Really, why? Well, I've never killed anybody. Because they kept that law. One law out of over 600. They never killed anybody. They kept that one. You know, well, then they're okay. Well, no, they're not okay. The Bible says the law worketh wrath. We just read that. The law works wrath. In other words, the law is what proves that we're guilty. It's the law written down, Ten Commandments. By the way, how many of us have kept all Ten Commandments our whole life? Nobody. Nobody in here. And, you know, I mean, nobody's done it. And if anybody would be arrogant enough to stand up and say, I have kept the law my whole life. I've kept the Ten Commandments my whole life. If anybody would stand up this morning and say that, would you agree they'd probably be guilty of the one, don't bear false witness? Amen? They're lying. It's not true. Nobody's done it. We see clearly that Abraham did not become the friend of God by keeping a law, keeping a commandment, keeping a rule. There's a verse in your handout I want you to look at, Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the what? Law. So, if Abraham, now listen up. If Abraham did not become the friend of God by a good work that he did, if he did not become the friend of God through a religious ceremony, if he did not become the friend of God by keeping the law, the Ten Commandments, because they hadn't even been given yet, well, then how did he become the friend of God? And that's what I want to get to. Abraham, God gave Abraham a promise. I alluded to it earlier. He promised Abraham, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Now think about this. He doesn't have any kids. Sarah's barren. They don't believe she can have kids. God says, you're going to have a son. Not only are you going to have a son, from him will come a great nation. Not only that, from this seed will come mighty kings. Not only this, your seed line is one day going to be a blessing to all the other nations of the earth. That was a tall order. Seeing as how he didn't even have one kid. And he's going to have kids, and he's going to have kings come forth from his loins. He's going to have a great nation. He's going to have a nation that's going to be a blessing to all the other nations. That was pretty tough to believe. But I want you to look at verse 3. Look at it. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. Can y'all say that with me? Abraham believed God. Did he believe God's promise? Yes or no? He did. Now look at the rest of the verse. And it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. He was declared righteous. He was made the friend of God by one word, faith. The rest of this chapter, that's what you see, the recurring theme, justified by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Not of works, Not a religious ceremony. It's not keeping the law. Faith, 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 faith. Look at verse 5. He says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verses 19, look at it with me, 19 through 22. This kind of just, this ties it up beautifully. This verses 19 through 22, they tie it up so that you cannot possibly miss it. Look at verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. See, they were beyond childbearing years. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed, his faith, notice, was imputed to him for righteousness. You say, okay, all right, Pastor Dan, I see it. I got it. Yep, there it is. Got it. Abraham became the friend of God and was made right before God by faith alone. I got it. But how does that affect me? I mean, after all, Abraham lived a long, long time ago. What does that have to do with me, Pastor Dan? So he was justified by faith. I get it. All right, it wasn't a law. It wasn't a religious ceremony. It wasn't his good works. It was faith. Faith alone in what God promised. I get it. But what does that have to do with me? Paul's going to apply it to you and me. He's going to make application. He's going to show how it applies to you in the next couple verses. Look at verse 23. He says, now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Ha ha. Okay, here we go. It wasn't just for his sake that this was written down. Verse 24, but for us also, to whom it, righteousness, shall be imputed. So we can have it too. How do we get it? Like Abraham, notice, if we, what's the next word? Believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Isn't that what we're going to celebrate next Sunday? Amen. Look at verse 25. Who was delivered? Jesus was delivered for our offenses, our sins, and was raised again for our justification. Jesus died for our sins. Do y'all believe that? 3 days later, he rose again. Do you believe that? He did it so that we could be justified or made right with God. Now, question, how do you appropriate what he did? How do you appropriate that to your life, to your heart, to your soul? How do you become the friend of God? The same way Abraham did, by faith alone. Verse 24, look at it. It was written for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. Righteousness can be imputed to you if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now listen, let's not miss it. Abraham was declared righteous. He was declared acceptable before God the moment that he believed God's promise. He was declared righteous. He was imputed to him righteousness. He was given a standing of righteousness before God the very moment that he believed God's promise. God's made a promise to us also, the promise of eternal life through what Jesus Christ has done for us. Look in your handout at Titus 1:2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Turn your hand out over. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Look at the next one. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Great news for y'all. God has done it all. The only thing left for us to do is to simply believe God's promise that the moment we believe on Christ, all of our sins are forgiven. We become the friend of God, and we are declared righteous in God's eyes the moment we believe what Jesus Christ did. Verse 7. Look at it. Verse 7. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven,